Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 365.
365, full circle.
A third of the way to 1095, guys. It's exciting. We've got a lot of fancy business to talk about. Like, we've announced a bunch of new shows. Mm-hmm. The lineup for PodFest this year, October 6th through the 8th. Mark Maron's doing it, but we've the cool stuff for me, we've got Todd Glass and My Favorite Murder's coming back. Jackie Cation's doing Dork Forest and her show with Lori Kilmartin. But also we've got some first-timers. Bill Burr doing his Monday morning podcast.
First time ever doing it live,
he
right?
He never has done it live. He's doing it first time with us. Bert Kreischer is doing BertCast. We've got Bobby Lee is doing his podcast. So if you want to see Bobby Lee naked, that you can...
It's probably already happened.
It's probably... You can go right now, any show he's doing. But he'll be... he'll have his shirt off. Hopefully we can get him and Bert without their shirts off. That's it's the shirt off festival.
Yeah, that'll be hard.
So that's... tickets are moving fast. As we've said, the... There's a limited number of hotel rooms, and there's some crazy doctor convention that weekend, so... Once the discounted hotel rooms at the Biltmore are gone, they're gone. We can't add more. So jump on those. Ticket prices are going up because we've sold out of all the other tiers. So get into it. Get involved.
Yeah.
Buy a ticket.
Yeah. Jump in. Jump into the deep end.
Jump into the deep end. October 6th to the 8th, go to lapodfest.com. Thank you to all the new patrons.
So oh my gosh, it's been great. We're over $600 right now.
We've got over 100 of you doing it.
Yeah, we're very close.
Doing it a month.
Yeah, we're very close to our initial goal of 2 spoilers a month. And we have an announcement. We know what the secret episode is going to be.
Yes.
It's going to be the monthly, weekly film news with... us and Neil. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going over the monthly film news with Neil and commenting on the stories. Now, it'll also be different than what's on the site. As you know, Neil does the weekly film wrap-up. It'll be some of that, but also a lot of new stuff, and we'll be talking about film news.
Yeah, we're going to go in depth of, like, you know, what director's doing this and what, you know, who's starring in this big comic book movie and what's on the slate for all these people, what dumb mistakes are DC going to make?
Yes, in the future? Exactly. That'll always be a topic of conversation.
And yeah. What new Marvel movie is going to kick the shit out of the dumb DC movie? Stuff like that.
Again, over and over. And and you're wondering, well, what level is that for the patron? That is the $10 level.
That's the $10
yes,
level, folks.
That's the $10 level. I know you're wondering.
I know.
But what if I, you know what? I can't afford that. I just want to get the polls and participate in those.
You can do that for $2.
$2 level.
$2 level, you get to participate in the polls. We've already posted two of them, which have been great. You guys, your engagement and activity on this is...
Yeah, and if you just want to throw down a sawbill and don't care about getting any of the updates, throw down the sawbill. Get the $1 a month.
Thank you for explaining that. I thought a sawbuck was a 20.
Wasn't a sawbill a 1? I don't know.
Don't look at me. I'm just enjoying the show right now, and I was wondering what a sawbuck was.
I love Chris makes the statement and then asks the guest, hey,
exactly.
What does this mean?
It's very likely I could be getting the nomenclature and the slang incorrect.
Can I ask one question about this whole...
Could be sawbuck, could be sawbill.
Does it relate to a Civil War type of words?
Right?
No, I just want to know.
Let's get on the trolley and give each other the hi-hat.
Don't give our guests a 23 skidoo.
Yeah.
Do I have to pay each month, or can I subscribe in a way that I'm automatically paying you every month?
Yeah, that's what the patron level is. So you can just, it's different than Kickstarter or Indiegogo where you just do a one-time. This is your... every month donating a certain dollar amount, and for that dollar amount you get various things. So for the $2 level you get access to
updates and polls.
The $5 level you get a little more stuff.
Yep.
The $10 level you get a bonus episode.
Yep, and it's going to be great. We're already confirmed it with Neo, and we're really excited to do it. We'll be doing it next week.
Yeah, because we realize that's one area we sort of haven't covered as much.
Right. It's been covered on the site, but not really on the show.
And even on the site is cool, but we needed to go in depth and do an hour talking about it every month about what's going on.
We got to discuss the bullshit.
We got to go into it. We got to go into who's assigning and what, you know, what fucking film is Zack Snyder going to ruin next and stuff like that.
You know, things that are in development that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Why the Akira movie will never be made. Why Ghost in the Shell did get made and shouldn't have been.
and cast with a white girl, you know, yes, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's stuff. What we'll be getting into.
We'll get into all that stuff. It'll be a little more.
My favorite was Ghost in the Shell. The anime fans had no interest in seeing the film, and the people who were not fans of the anime were like, "Why is Scarlett Johansson in naked but without nipples?" It's like it made no sense.
No one wanted it. Was it appealed to neither?
Yes, neither demographic wanted to see the film.
It's good, solid business. Why don't we introduce our guest?
Let's do it.
You've heard him try to understand old money.
Yeah, yeah, old money slang that I'm getting incorrect anyway.
He's a filmmaker. He's a podcaster, and it's a first. He's a first time guest.
No,
he's been on before.
Really?
Yeah. I was on. I was in this very space with you all.
No,
when? So graciously.
It was a while ago when we were talking about Wayne Fetterman's movie, I Am Road Comic.
Wow.
Wow, well, I love that I Am Road Comic is Wayne Fetterman's movie.
Yeah.
The Wayne Fetterman vehicle, yeah. I Am Road Comic.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard he produced, starred, and hired you to direct it.
That's true. I fought hard to get the gig.
Yeah. And,
you got to fight really hard to do a documentary that's not going to pay much.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, comedian, filmmaker, and also just finished his comedy documentary trilogy, ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Brady.
Thanks for having me.
I apologize for not remembering
that. No, it was a strange experimental time.
So, all right. So that's like 12 mistakes right off top of the show.
Yeah,
that's
money's awesome. Wrong. We've had the guy before.
Yeah.
Is this the right episode number?
You know we're not going to edit any of this
Fuck
out.
That. No. Editing takes time.
Yeah.
We're in the garage. Normally we're at All Things Comedy, which is really cool.
Because it's spring break and the kids are off. So we're here back in the garage. Now, Jordan, you just finished I Am Battle Comic. We're going to be talking
terrible
about that.
Name, by the way.
Yeah.
Terrible name for a film.
I thought it was a rap battle documentary.
I know. It's a horrible name. I Am Battle Comic. What is it? It's like Jeff Ross is going to be telling zingers to other people. It's terrible.
I was thinking robots. There had to be robots somewhere in there.
Oh, I wish there were robots.
I literally, because the rap battle show has gotten so big at the Comedy Store, now I think it's a show on Comedy Central. That's become such a big thing. I was like, oh, it's a documentary about rap battle.
How timely.
Yes.
No,
how'd you get it done so fast?
Trust me, I struggled with the horrible title, I Am Battle Comic. But when you have I Am Comic on your shelf of your work, and then you have I Am Road Comic, it couldn't be I Am Army Comic, because then you think, oh, it's like a soldier who does comedy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which there is a Marine. Sean Halpin is a Marine, or was a Marine. I guess you're always a Marine, who does comedy. But that would be confusing.
There's a Marine, an ex-Marine, Patrick Terrell, who's a comic in Oahu that I've met.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be misleading. Right. I Am Marine Comic. That wouldn't work.
I Am Military Comic.
And I Am Comic Military Grade. That was the title for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a...
Right.
With a little subtitle thing. Not
oh,
a subtitle.
Oh, I see.
Like a, what do they call that?
A
when
colon
they,
or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, colon. And then I was just lazy and I said, okay, I Am Battle Comic. Horrible.
Yeah, I'm Enlisted Comic?
Again, it sounds like a comedian joined the army.
Yeah, no, this is a documentary about comedians that go overseas to entertain the troops. I don't know if you're familiar with Afghanistan.
Yes, I have heard of it, for sure.
Now, that's a dumb name for a movie.
That's a great name for a movie. That is a great name, which I own that DVD.
Oh, sweet.
I thought he was going to say the URL.
Yeah, but I bought the URL, Graham. That's why you can't have it.
Do you have the URL?
Yeah.
For Afghanistan?
Yeah, I think it's LafghanistanTheMovie.com, but we haven't put a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
That site might need a little work. So if you want to go into that abandoned warehouse, you can go to movie.com.
So, well, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about Jordan's movie. We're going to be talking about a movie called Your Name, Personal Shopper, and Their Finest. And we've got a new sponsor. This episode will be brought to you by Mac Weldon, MacWeldon.com. That is excellent. The silver one, the one, the antimicrobial one.
Just their standard one, but it says they put on the inside of it, for daily use or for daily wear, which is a great reminder because I would have gone biannually if they would have.
Or never worn it at all.
I would have just framed it because they're so beautiful.
Are they briefs or boxers?
Yeah, they're boxer briefs. You get a whole. I love the boxer briefs. They're very
cool. Well, we may as well do the ad now.
Yeah, I think we're kind of into it. We're kind of into the ad. Reading.
By the way, I Am Commando comic would have been a good one, but it would imply that you weren't wearing underpants.
Yeah, a whole documentary about comics that don't wear underwear.
That are freeballing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good documentary.
That might be the fourth one in the trilogy.
Yeah. Well, then it would be a quadrilogy. Is that a word?
I don't know. I've gotten so many words wrong at this.
Chris
episode.
Is just making up words.
Yeah,
at this
exactly.
Episode.
Yeah,
pay a sawbuck to see that quadrilogy.
Yes, you should. You should. That'll really paint your trolley.
So really. So go to MacWeldon.com, folks.
Yeah, and we're not going to make you spend full price. Come on, go to MacWeldon.com. 20% off your order with the promo code NERDS. And remember, they have a silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial. I got my stuff in the mail, too. I got a T-shirt. I got a sweatpants, and they're really comfortable. They're like really
soft. They
got a
great return policy, too. And you might be thinking,
and a sweatshirt.
The underwear doesn't fit. I'm not sending that back. No, you keep it. And they'll give you the full refund. If you're like, I don't like this, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
So they...
And try something else. I mean, what I love about
a
sponsor like
socks.
This. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got some blue light blue.
Did you get a package? Because they have packages of socks,
I got
too.
Two packages of socks, and I got a package of underwear.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable.
I love this.
What are the instructions on the socks?
I didn't see an imprint on the...
Toes go in first.
Toes go in first. Yeah, that's... Which was helpful.
TGIF.
So you definitely want to check it out. They have what I love about it is they don't have a ton of inventory, but what they do have is fantastic. It's really comfortable and
sort of
really
the in
and
out burger
well.
Of clothes. They just
do a
couple things and they do
but they do it right.
Well.
Yeah.
Well.
So you get your underwear animal style.
Yes.
Southern California joke.
That's a SoCal joke.
So go to MacWeldon.com, MacWeldon.com, and get 20% off using the promo code NERDS.
That's another great way to support the show, guys. If there's a product we're advertising that you really would want to do, if you use our coupon code, they obviously track that.
Yes, they do.
And the more people that use our coupon code, the more they're like, oh, we're going to keep advertising with those guys.
Makes a great gift.
And let me, is a wicking... It's like a sport underwear?
They do have a... That's the antimicrobial. Right? That's like if it is kind of a sport underwear that you... If you are going to exercise a lot in, that's my next round.
They've got hoodies, too. Hoodies, shirts, underwear, and sweatpants.
Hey, there's the phone. We don't have that,
call
Nate,
from
DC.
The future.
Yeah.
Where, what kind of ring is that?
I don't know. Chris still has
Someone's
a landline.
Calling from a space capsule.
Old man Sawbuck still... call Carlisle 5600 and you can get the Mancini home.
It comes free with the cable package. You can't get rid of it. They bundle it.
Yeah, that's why I cut my cable, because I had a home phone that only telemarketers called.
Oh, isn't that great? Yeah, that's a great service. That must work great for the telemarketers, too. Well, if you still have this, you don't want to talk to me.
It's great for pollsters. I mean, they accurately predicted the election, so it's really it's a great system they've got going on there. Calling.
I don't think I've had a landline since the late 90s.
Yeah.
No, it's like, you know, I put it next to the fax machine. So
the butter churn.
Yeah.
It's over in the,
yep, that's really good. There's
I just put a down payment on a stagecoach.
Oh, good for you.
Yes.
Good for you. What's the down payment on that? A couple sawbucks?
Yeah, I got a couple sawbucks. A couple sawbucks and a couple sawbills. I had to do a couple of each. And a turkey.
Nope. So. And I'm not editing the phone ringing, by the way.
No,
it's all staying in.
Yep.
The editing it's too laborious. Why would you edit? No. People enjoy it.
People love the rawness of podcasting.
It's real. It's fucking real.
When it takes place in a prairie house.
Yes. With a dirt floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the Pony Express men riding up?
You know what I loved about earbuds? Can I talk about that?
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a secret screening. I don't know if I was invited. I think I was invited because I'm a Kickstarter backer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were in Beverly Hills. It was a swanky theater. And there were
UTA.
At UTA.
You should set that up.
There were other Kickstarters there. Mm-hmm. And my buddy Sean Merrick was there.
Yep.
Right? Who's in the movie, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We profile his battle with cancer.
And I don't want to give away the ending, but the way people kind of come together and you put a face to a faceless medium is really genius.
Oh, thanks.
Not to mention that don't you go to freaking Australia?
Australia and Japan.
And Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So I was wondering, like, okay, how is this? I'll put my money down, right? I'll see. And I'm like, but how are they going to sustain people talking.
Right.
And you did it. So I say bravo.
Thanks. Oh, thanks. I think that's you know, the two biggest things we get in reactions to earbuds are that and the, oh, I didn't expect it to be so emotional.
Right.
Yeah, and so moving.
And that was the thing from the very beginning that Chris and I were like, well, we don't want this to just be some boring tech thing like
about how's podcasting started.
Let's go into an RSS feed. Like, oh, that sounds exciting. The idea came from a bunch of things. I mean, seeing the fans come to the LA Podcast Festival and they're like, the emotional response that people have the first time they come to PodFest, and they're like, oh my God, you know, I listened alone. No one understands what a podcast is. And then I come here and everyone does. Like that, I've had that response a million times. All the emails that every podcaster, I'm sure you've gotten them, of, hey, listening to your show helped me through a tough thing or whatever. I just wanted you to know that you're bitching about, you know, movie studios or whatever actually got me through this tough time. And that connection and me going on the road, the people that would come up to me after just stand-up comedy shows saying, man,
I drove 2 hours to get here.
I drove to get here, or I heard you on this other show, or you told this story on this other podcast, and that meant a lot to me. I went through a similar thing, or whatever. It's like, there's nothing... Yeah, that's the whole reason we did the doc, and it's we wanted that because...
There's humanity to it.
We want to show the humanity, because everyone's like... And I think... I don't know if that's a mistake in our title in Earbuds, the podcasting documentary, or in our movie, in our description, in some of the festivals I noticed when we did we didn't describe enough of the humanity. Cause I think I don't know much about podcasting. I'm going to go, this festival's in my movie festival in my town, and I'm just thumbing through the program and I'm like, oh, that could, maybe that might be interesting.
There's a documentary on the environment. I'll learn about that. Or maybe I'll learn about this podcasting thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the kids love. And this isn't like a slam or anything, but then like you're going up against the documentary and in the title it's like an autistic swim team. And you're just like, oh wow. Yeah. Like emotionally, I want to get into that. And I remember saying to Chris, we were in Napa. I was like, maybe we should have redone the description and talked about the emotion that our movie has, because I think on the surface, people just think it's going to be.
And then eventually we did do that. So we updated all the IMDb and press release stuff. So
I think there's a podcast about autistic swimmers. No,
there might be.
There might be. It was a fantastic movie, by the way.
Is it really?
Oh, it's fan. It's right there. Like it's all the emotion of it. The parents.
Do you remember the name of it?
God, I forget. But we met the filmmakers. We were in the artist in residence thing with them at Napa, and it's
called Sawbill.
Sawbill, yeah. Sawbill, the butter churn story. I don't know what that has to do with autistic swimmers, but it sounded good.
My wife made a documentary about teenage dancers. They're not just teens. They're some little, like, two-year-olds. It's a whole program called Free to Be Me. They have Down syndrome.
Oh.
And it was hard to describe that as well, because you can just say, oh, it's about dancers with Down syndrome. But it's really about the families. Like, you get to know, you go, oh, wow, they're just like us. It's relatable. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about the humanity in Earbuds.
What was the name of that one?
Which one? Oh, my wife's?
Yeah.
Free to Be Me.
Free to Be Me.
Free to Be Me. But the humanity that you put in that. My own movie, I Am Battle Comic. Terrible name.
Maybe you should put colon after that. I Am Battle Comic, colon. Terrible name.
Terrible name. But I do have iambattlecomic.com. Mm-hmm. You could pre-order, but I'm not here to talk about the pre-order.
Okay.
You can. No.
If they want to go...
We were just selling underwear 2 minutes ago. So you want to sell your film, friend. You go for it.
Hey, if people wanted to pre-order at iambattlecomic.com, $10, they can. And $5 of the 10 goes to the National Military Family Association.
That's great.
AKA militaryfamily.org. Mm-hmm. It's a great charity. They send kids to camp. They help families when someone comes out of deployment, right? PTSD or just reintegrating. Because what I learned, and Graham, you probably know this as well, there's no boot camp to decompress, right? You get boot camp indoctrinates you into the service. And you come home and you've got this discipline and you've been in war and people shooting at you and you've been doing crazy stuff. And now you have to come back to
it's that's the, that's brings up a really interesting idea. What if there was a boot camp to reintegrate
there should be.
Into
should
society?
Anti-boot camp.
Well, it should it should be like I've heard some soldiers say, oh, you know, they just sort of sit you down and talk to you like the army therapist will sort of, you know, kind of, but it's not, it needs to be.
I mean, how long is boot camp?
It's 12 to 16 weeks.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the other thing, too, and it's great that you're supporting that families organization. That was the biggest thing I learned from going over there and from making Afghanistan was, like, how the families. I had so many people in the military go, man, you have no how. It's harder on the family because imagine, you know, Chris, you got kids. Imagine you're gone for a year.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And so the kids are kind of, and you're just talking to the kids on Skype. And then you've had this completely different lifestyle, like in a war zone, tents, military living, and then
lost buddies,
the stress of it. And then you come back here and you got to then integrate into taking the kids to Little League and all this sort of regular life stuff.
Right. Like pick that scene, picking out cereal in the Hurt Locker.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes back and he's trying to figure that out. And the families, that's the thing I learned so more than anything. Was how hard it is on the families because it's hard on both people. It's hard on the man or woman that's in the military that, like you said, they didn't have a boot camp to come home. And then the family's like, well, we kind of were operating without you.
Right.
And now you're back.
I got that from being on the road as a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Or doing a gig. If I do a shoot out of town, I'm gone for 10 days. They're like, hey, we had a life while you were gone. Yeah. Don't come back and think we're all stopping for you.
I know.
But this organization, militaryfamilies.org, and you can make a donation anytime. But I saw them on Dave Attell, who gives an interview, and I'm Battle Comic. Mm-hmm. Terrible name.
Dave Attell?
No. Dave Attell actually has a nice ring to it. I don't think he'd like that, George. He had like a button on his website.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed him, and I stalked him actually on Twitter. Like, hey, I got to get an interview. So I'm in New York. I'm on his website, and I said, why? He goes, man, because he's done 7 or 8 tours. He said, these people do great things for the families. So they'll send the family to a camp with other families and get people to open up. So that if you were to incline to pre-order, know that some of the money's going to that.
That's a great organization.
Great. And our screenings are, we've helped them as well.
And they can go to iambattlecomic.com?
If they want to.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some movies. Yeah. Now, I saw Your Name. This is an anime film not made by Studio Ghibli or Miyazaki, but it has such a Miyazaki, Studio Ghibli feel. I feel like filmmakers said, all right, if this studio is not going to make movies like this anymore, we're going to pick up the slack and make it. This is a beautiful film. It is the highest grossing anime of all time. It passed Spirited Away, wow. $333 million so far. And it premiered at the Anime Expo 2016 in Los Angeles. Now, this is what I was excited about. The kids are off for spring break. They had a choice. We were either going to go see Power Rangers or this movie. And they chose this movie. And
that's good parenting.
And I was worried because I have an 8-year-old boy, and I know there's not going to be a lot of fighting in this movie. So this movie is about two teenagers, a boy and a girl. One lives in the city, one lives in the country. But there's a comet that affects their lives where they start to swap bodies periodically, but then they swap back. And they're not really sure what's going on. So they start leaving notes for each other when they swap back. So it becomes a really odd but really interesting coming-of-age love story of these kids that has this sci-fi kind of twist to it. And, there's some time travel stuff in there. There's some really cool stuff. But it's a beautiful, gorgeous movie, like the backgrounds and the animation, and it really feels like a Studio Ghibli film. It's moving, it's fun, it's lively, and I kept looking over to my son thinking, he's going to be so bored. Like, my daughter was loving it. You know, she's 12 at that perfect tween age of, like, the romance between, you know, boy, girl, high school issues, and some of the stuff, it's translatable. It doesn't matter that this is part of a Japanese culture, this film. Growing up and being a teenager, all the problems and issues that you have is the same everywhere in the world. So, but my son said this. He's like, no, I really like this movie. I liked the comet. He liked the sci-fi elements of it, how they were switching bodies. And it's just a great, it's gotten no fanfare, no promotion in the United States. But it's a fantastic movie. It's called Your Name.
It's based on, so the director Makoto Shinkai, it's his fifth feature film. And he actually wrote the, it's based on his book and a screenplay. Because he's done a lot of these, apparently. He's done 5 Centimeters per Second, The Place Promised, The Garden of Words. So this is...
The Place Promised, what's that one?
The Place Promised in Our Early Days.
Oh, and that is also another beautiful looking film.
Yeah.
So he's an amazing director.
And we can see this now?
It's in, yeah, it was playing at the Arclight.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like sort of a Memento, Freaky Friday with a little bit of...
It's a mix
Twilight
of, it's a mix of all those things with the exception of the dopiness of Twilight. but it really it really resonated, and it resonated because it's like the a coming of age movie, but even with the sci-fi elements to it, it just like we all kind of felt that way, like gosh, like you know, there's just one scene where you know, the country girl is just yelling, I hate my life and I wish, you know, I was in the city and all this. And, you know, you just, it's the grass is always greener kind of thing where it's just as you, we go through as a teenagers and coming of age, like all these issues. But imagine if you were swapping bodies. In fact, there's a lot of jokes about when they swap bodies, they have different parts of their bodies, which is also the kids really found that entertaining too. Like it doesn't get any, it's a PG, it doesn't get into anything graphic, but it was just a really fun, beautiful film, and I recommend seeing it. The other thing too is we're not seeing as much two-dimensional 2D animated movies anymore. I mean, really, it's everything that comes out from Disney now is all 3D computer generated. This is 2D animated, and seeing it on a big screen in a movie theater, there's still a charm to that that we're not getting anymore from Disney. So this is another reason I would say go out and see this movie in the movie theater. I mean, it was just me, my kids, and a bunch of animation nerds that were in the theater yesterday at 11 a.m.
what films would I know, just a non-anime guy? Mm-hmm. What would I know from that studio you referenced?
Oh, you would know Spirited Away.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And
like Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke. Yeah. Those are
Tekken
the big ones.
Concrete.
That's so that's a different one. But different one. I know which one you're talking about.
I just wanted to say it because I knew.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Right. Show off a little bit in front of the comedy film nerd.
So definitely check it out. And if it's playing near you and it's in the theater, check it out on the big screen.
Did you and your kids get high
before? We did.
Chris is the family that does bong rips together. Stays there.
No
Daddy
comment.
Made some
no
special cookies for you kids.
It's Oops. L.A.
It's L.A.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we had our prescription cards. We were fine.
My kids are older, mm-hmm. okay? But having an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old now, anywhere you go in L.A., a waft of skunk weed will just come through. Do you talk about that? Has it been brought up? Or
I don't think we travel in the same circles.
No, no, I'm not trying to be funny. It's like you could be at a Starbucks.
Yeah, every
and you
once
walk
in a while.
To your car.
Yeah,
or you can be in traffic.
Yeah, you have to mention it.
And
like, what
like,
is that? Ew, what's
whoa!
That smell? That wafting? Yeah. And we just say somebody's sick. So.
The woman in front of us has glaucoma.
Yes, exactly. There's they have
sick.
Issues with
Somebody.
With their eyesight.
That's hilarious.
Or anxiety. So, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw Personal Shopper. Mm-hmm. Now this is the Kristen Stewart movie, and
now I got to ask before you start this. From the trailer, just kind of confused me. Is it a ghost story?
Well. Let me bring this up on IMDb.
Okay.
Here's the thing with this film. I ultimately very much liked it.
Okay.
There's been some criticism of it, I think more so in the States, although it was booed by some critics at Cannes, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then...
they're very critical, the critics at Cannes,
sure.
by the way.
they've been tired hanging out with on yachts.
Yeah.
But apparently then the director went on to win Best Director. So... The trailer that
it's
I
the
saw,
other director's booing.
Yeah. I think the trailer that I saw was made for the American audience, is my guess.
Interesting.
And so they had to, I think the American audiences need things spelled out a lot more. And this movie doesn't do that.
Okay.
It leaves a lot for you to kind of sort of figure out.
Okay. As an American, I don't like doing that.
I don't like that. I want things shown to me. I want the guy to win and have an American Eagle hat.
Yes.
So I'm trying not to go into spoilers, but yes, it deals with ghosts. Mm-hmm. It is. There's a lot of elements to it.
Okay.
There's a ghost story. There's a little bit of a crime thriller aspect to it.
Is there a pottery wheel?
There is. My knowledge, no, there is not a pottery wheel.
Then it's not truly a ghost movie.
No, you're right. There isn't. Unless a ghost helps you make.
Yeah. make, a vase.
Yeah.
The ghost is the personal shopper? That would be weird. No. I want to see this
personal thing. Ghost shopper.
First personal ghost shopper. You just see like a handbag floating through an expensive store. That's for a celebrity. Ooh,
that's the new thing from Apple, Ghost Pay.
So it's a lot of different things. So Kristen, I'll just give you the story. So Kristen Stewart is a personal shopper for a fictitious celebrity woman. We don't see her much, but she's some sort of like Madonna type.
Right. Never there. Too busy to shop.
Too busy. A train wreck.
Right.
Not a fun job to have. Kristen Stewart, also's twin brother, passed away 6 months prior. They were both mediums. They just say that. It's just an accepted thing.
Okay.
What's a medium? Someone who can communicate with the dead.
Right.
Sure.
So that's just part of it. And in the trailer, she's worrying, like, am I getting it? Like, my brother and I said we would give each other a sign to let go of this. So she's having, part of it is her dealing with grief of losing her brother. Part of it is I'm a medium and I can connect and see these things. But yeah, there's some ghost stuff. There's some scary stuff. There's some thriller stuff. There's like a crime. And her just trying to sort through losing her brother.
How does she do in it?
I like Kristen Stewart when she does this kind of stuff. And I think it's, I know it's similar character to the other movie she did, the
Clowns of Silas Mariner.
Oh, I love that movie, the clowns, where she was like the acting the clowns. Yeah, that was a good one.
The Clowns of Saint Mariner.
The Clouds of Sils Maria.
Sils Maria. So she's playing a sort of a similar. And the Clouds of Sils Maria, she's a famous woman's assistant.
Right.
So there is some similarities to that. They both take place in Europe. But I really, I don't know. It
kept your attention.
It kept my attention, and it was really interesting. And there was some stuff happening, and you're like, God, is this ghosts or is this some just regular dude that's a weirdo? Like, what's happening here? So it kept my attention and it's interesting. If you want it all tied up in a bow and you want that, then don't go to this. This movie is not, it's going to leave you thinking.
It's French.
It's French. Absolutely. Yes. It's a very French, you know, it's a European film.
In English?
Yeah, completely in English. But it takes place in Paris. Apparently, though, they moved the production to Prague just 48 hours before the attacks in Paris.
It takes less saw francs.
Yes, it's saw fucks. It's the same director that did The Clowns of Sils Maria, as Chris says. So it's in that same style. So I would say this, if you liked that movie,
yes,
then
much.
You probably like this one. And I applaud, and I've said this before on the show, I applaud any time some actor comes out of some mega franchise and they're doing more artistic creative stuff, because I always get bothered, and Matthew McConaughey finally broke out of it too, when they're like, they just keep cranking out the same. She could do another 15 Twilight thing. She could go do action movies. She could do any of that stuff if she wanted to, and I don't begrudge her, but it's like, she doesn't need the money anymore. And so she's doing interesting stuff like this and working with interesting directors. So I liked it, and it's an interesting script.
It's like Charlize Theron went the other way.
Right.
She did small independent films and now does these crazy action things.
I know. And I, like, I don't.
She's got the new one coming out.
The Fist and the Furious or whatever. The
Fist and the Furious.
Terrible title.
There's a really angry fist. There's some mad knuckles going. But like, no, exactly. And I don't, as I've said, I don't begrudge an actor for taking those giant parts, but
she's great in Mad Max.
Yeah, she's great in Mad Max. She's great in Mad Max, which is a big budget thing. But it's also interesting to see when they do the art things. I mean, like, we're all in that spot. You direct a lot of commercials. That's your bread and butter. But
I'm
then,
a whore. Yeah.
But then, then you go do documentaries with horrible titles.
Yes. That
but you're doing that. Yeah. You're not making those movies. You know you're not making a shit ton of money.
Right. It's it's a creative sorbet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To cleanse the palate. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of the great actors, we like their work because they do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you watch any interview with a famous actor doing a smaller movie, and they'll say, I work the rest of the year to be able to do these artistic endeavors.
Was it like somebody, Marlon Brando or somebody said, do one for them, one for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I like seeing this. So yeah, it's worth seeing. It's an interesting film.
With commercials, by the way, it's do 12. For them. One for you.
Hey, I'd take the
one. That's just the economics of the whole thing. Yeah.
So now, Jordan, you saw a movie, Their Finest. Tell us about that. This is a British film.
This was great. So I guess it was Sunday. My younger kids still live with me. They were off doing their thing at the start of spring break. My wife says, you want to see a movie?
Yeah. Now, how old are your kids?
I have two boys in their 20s, and I have twin 16-year-olds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Not the lookalike kind, the other kind.
Fraternal?
Fraternal. I always forget the word. So my wife...
the lookalike kind.
We live near the landmark on Pico.
Oh.
And my wife says, do you want to see a movie? I say, yeah, buy the tickets. She goes, I really want to see this movie, Their Finest.
I like that theater, by the way.
It's a great theater.
It's a good Indian restaurant across the street.
Yes, there is. Yeah. And a Thai place next door.
Yeah.
So I say to my lovely wife, what's this movie about? And she goes, well, we're here now, because I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And we walk in, and I go, hey, we're going into Theater 3, and that's where I Am Battle Comic is going to play May 2nd. At the Landmark Theater. And she goes, really? I go, yeah, it's this theater. I mean, all the information is at jordanbrady.com, even ticket links. But I don't know anything about Their Finest.
That's fantastic. You gave your wife your
website.
What
a coincidence.
Yes, I sent it to her. And she said, wow, you're so narcissistic. And I go, no, people do that. They get their own name as a website. So you just go to jordanbrady.com, click on I Am Battle Comic Screenings. You can buy tickets to May 2nd. At the Landmark on Pico. And my wife said, are you giving away the profits of that screening to National Military Family? And I said, au contraire, the money from May 2nd at the Landmark go to Operation Gratitude.
Oh,
they pack up care packages.
That's a great
and send them for the troops. I went out there last month when they do it, and it's just like an army of love.
Yeah.
And you're on an assembly line. And 3 hours later, you've packed up a couple thousand boxes, and they're up to, I think they're at 1.6 million to date.
That's another great organization.
Wow.
Yeah. I've done some stuff for them.
I met the woman who started it. After 9/11, she wanted to enlist.
She donated some DVDs.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. You should.
Yeah.
In fact, I just bought 409, I bought 500, but I'm keeping one for my shelf of I Am Comic. Like, I had to buy my own movie.
Yeah.
But the distributor helped me get them at cost, and I'm going to give them to the troops, and they can...
Let's send a box out there.
Yeah, you should send a box.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Send them May 2nd, and I'll announce it.
Okay.
You know, at the Q&A and all that stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to auction off a Fender electric bass that Fender donated. Mm-hmm. All that money will go to Operation Gratitude. And my wife said, oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me about the May 2nd thing.
Yeah.
So we go into see Their Finest, two trailers.
That's a vertically integrated pitch, folks.
That was.
That's
what I was very impressed.
In the middle of a movie review, it's fantastic.
Thank you. Two
Only
trailers.
Only a commercial director could think of that.
I told you, I'm a whore. I'm not going to mention Dallas and Houston.
Okay.
The week before at the Landmarks.
But they could go to the website and
find go to jordanbrady.com or iambattlecomic.com.
Yeah, so it's not a surprise.
It's all there. All the information is readily available. So Richard Gere's in two trailers prior to Their Finest, which is weird.
What does he have coming out?
It's I could there one of them looks good about like the family. The boys committed some heinous crime, and the family.
Oh yes,
gonna,
that does look going to
turn them in.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like a lot of people sitting around a table, but it looks like a good thriller.
Like they're going to flash to the thing that happened.
Yeah, they did in the trailer. They flashed to some fire or something.
Yeah, they're like a wealthy family, and their sons all committed some heinous thing, and there's an argument over to at least do we do the right thing or do we cover it up.
And Richard Gere, I think, is running for office.
Yeah, yeah.
And wants
yeah.
to come clean, is what I got from the trailer.
Yeah.
Then the other trailer, I don't remember. And then a British trailer. Mm-hmm. So Their Finest is a story about a female screenwriter pre-U.S. involvement in World War II. And she's brought in to make a propaganda film for the British Ministry of Propaganda and Film Division.
It's based on a novel by Lisa Evans. And Gabby Shippy, not a real name.
Gabby Sawbill?
Gabby Sawbill did the screenplay. But I'm sorry. Anyway.
And so the movie just unfolds. I have no preconceived notions of what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. The humor was very sly. The performances were subtle. And it just went on, and it, there's kind of a, like, you're rooting for the other writer and the guy writer and her to get together, and she's with this artist that we don't like, and, you know, there's some predictable things that happen, but for the most part, what I loved was they would cut to the movie that was getting made as they were writing it, and it didn't necessarily match up, like, on the nose, the movie that they're writing is real life.
And they were making a propaganda film, right?
Yeah.
For the UK and the Allies.
For the UK. Right? Mm-hmm. And it took some fun shots at Americans, like Jeremy Irons has a big party, comes in over the top as the head of the ministry. And like, the Yanks want to see a Yank in the picture. And we need their involvement. And, you know, they need someone with a good smile and a good-looking boy, but he can't be the hero because we're the hero. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know why I'm talking like that. It was not British, nor Jeremy Irons. That was horrible.
It was fantastic.
So they enlist a U.S. guy, and he's a bad actor. And who's the tall – is it Bill Nighy?
Yeah.
The science guy?
No.
Yeah, Bill Nighy, the science guy, is in the movie.
It couldn't possibly be Bill Nighy, the English actor that's done a lot of movies.
He is wonderful in it. Just his pregnant pauses, and he'll give a look to one. You know, he spoofs an actor. He plays an actor.
Right.
Like a kind of a washed-up movie star whose time has faded, but he's in the, you know.
He still thinks
he puts on airs, and he's regal. And, you know, but it's very, they're serious, kind of like I Am Battle Comic, there's moments of seriousness.
Right.
Because it's dealing with war.
Yeah.
And the tragedy, and people die along the way in making this movie, which was.
Yeah, because it can't be too silly when that's when, you know, England was getting bombed on a daily basis by the Germans, so you can't make it too wacky.
It's a tough tightrope. I mean, it's you want to make it satire, but you also, you know, you don't want to make it look like you're making fun of the events that happened either. It's
not madcap,
right,
in any sense.
It's you know, Catch 22, if you remember the book and the movie, the movie just kind of missed the mark, and it's a tough thing to do, but it sounds like they found that kind of tightrope.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it goes on a little longer than you would expect if it were an American picture. Mm-hmm. Right, the boy and the girl get together, you're happy, right. You'd wrap it up. But it goes on another quick 15 minutes or so, and it makes it a much more powerful movie. So that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil it.
So the director, Lone Schifrig, she's from went to film school in Denmark, and she's done a fair amount of indie films. So you're saying you liked her directorial
stuff. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I loved it.
All right. This is worth – I saw the trailer for this, and it looked intriguing to me. The one question I had, and it might be the problem with – again, when they take foreign movies and they cut a trailer for America, they're assuming that it's a dumb audience, which they're not entirely wrong. But that almost – that trailer, I was like, God, is this too wacky, zany?
It's not madcap by any stretch.
Right. the trailer I saw hinted that it was, which I think is just a problem of the marketing team going, well, if we want Americans to come.
But that's what the irony is. In the movie, Jeremy Irons makes fun of, like, the Americans need... Let me try a little better. The Americans need a bigger bang, as they say, for an ending.
Sound creepier.
Okay, sorry.
The Americans need a bigger bang.
What part of the world are you from? You guys
the
are...
The Jeremy Irons.
From where? Like the bayou? I don't know where. And this is me criticizing English accents. Hello! That's more Jeremy Irons. But that's interesting, though. Yeah, because it's good to hear because, like I said, when I watched it, I thought, this might be like Monuments Men, which for me just really kind of missed the mark and was wacky in the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been more intense and heartfelt. You know what I mean? Like, but that's good to see. All right.
I never saw the trailer, so I have no comment.
That's great.
I walked into that theater.
There's something to be said, I think. We've talked about a fair amount on this show. For when you just walk into a movie completely blind to what it is, I think in some ways I think it's a better movie-going experience because you're not bringing any pro or con baggage with you.
I can't remember the last time I walked out of a movie.
Right.
Because if I've committed the 2 hours, even if it's horrible, I'm going to learn something as a filmmaker, like what not to do or enjoy how bad it is. Or it's just a delight and it'll come around. There was what's the one with the two brothers and Jeff Bridges plays a cartoon sheriff hunting the bank robbing brothers?
Hell or High Water?
Yeah.
Hell or High Water.
A cartoon sheriff.
Well, we're going to track them down. That movie, the first 20 minutes, I thought missed the mark.
Uh-huh.
First 20 minutes, my wife and I was like, is it like a spoof? Because it'd be serious and then have these comedic moments between them. And then Jeff Bridges would come in with his, he was like Yosemite Sam.
He's doing this, a couple other guests have brought it up too. He's doing this weird accent in movies now where he just kind of talks like this and it's weird and rules everything. Yeah, and didn't matter what movie he's in, he does that now. Ever since when he did the country western movie.
Right, where he's the singer.
The singer, yeah. So it's not necessary. You don't have to do that in every one. So, or if he's fighting witches in that other movie, that one.
But by the,
so
I would say before the halfway mark, I settled into that movie.
Interesting.
If I were a walkout kind of person, I'd go.
It won you over.
It won me over.
Yeah. I really liked Hell or High Water.
I love the way it ended.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to trailers. Thor Ragnarok. Now, I'm so excited about
this. This trailer looks fucking awesome.
It does.
I'm so fired up.
There's part of the Planet Hulk storyline in there, and it just looks really, really fun. And it also looks like what I love is, you know, Marvel's aware of, look, it's the third Thor movie. What are we going to do? And, you figured it out. This looks good. Have a quirky, weird, you know, New Zealand director kind of take this franchise, bring it into a lighter, more fresh, more interesting direction, and put the Hulk in the movie. I'm done. I'm ready. I'm on board.
Seeing Hulk in the trailer, I was like, it's so great. And the thing I love is this is Marvel's universe. In Civil War, there was just a couple of lines about, like, anybody know where the Hulk is? Anybody, you guys are reckless and crazy. Oh, that's where he is. He's in this trailer. He's in this film. So, it comes out in November, but I'm super pumped. And I was looking, my girlfriend showed me the comments. She was like, you got to look at this trailer. And in the comment section on YouTube under this trailer was somebody put RIP Justice League.
Right?
So, I don't know. Like, I know we're broken records when we say this, but the Marvel Universe is just fantastic.
You know, and our younger viewers may not remember when it was not always the case. Remember when Superman and Batman were like the most amazing movies, you know, ever made when they were first coming out, like, and Marvel was struggling with, like, I think a Punisher movie came out, and then there was, Roger Corman, Captain America, and Fantastic Four movies. Like, it was
Roger
like,
Corman, Fantastic Four movie is insanely fun.
It's unbelievable.
At the end, the guy,
Doctor Doom?
What's his name? With stretch guy.
Oh, Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic's hand waves out the limousine sunroof, and it's like a rubber arm. It just sways in the wind.
Yeah, there was a time where, like, oh, well, we're only going to see DC heroes on the big screen. Marvel will never have any successful movie, movie presence.
Oh, and I love, too, like, getting Taika Waititi, the director who did Hunt for the Wilder People, which is a fantastic movie.
And hilarious.
This is why...
Is that the movie with the boy and that runs away with the old guy?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
With Sam Neill.
Sam Neill. Mm-hmm. This is the thing, again... Why Marvel's model, they get it and DC doesn't. DC would go, we need a big action guy. No, we need a guy that knows how to direct human stories. We've got the apparatus in place for the effects and crazy.
We'll have 100 people over his shoulder.
Don't worry. Not in the worst way.
Yeah, exactly.
In the because I would imagine, we're all guys who've only really done low budget independent things. If someone said, here's $150 million, there would be part of us going, oh shit, what do I do? And Marvel, what it appears, because this is what their final product says to me, is that they come in and go, you're the director. You know how to, this is the story. Make sure you do that. We got all the other bells and whistles. Don't you worry about it. And you do your thing. In the middle of this giant machine, this giant amusement park, but they let the directors versus, we just got to get, or Star Trek, get Justin Lin. What are you?
Yeah, come on.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Skull Island.
Yeah. Give Darren Aronofsky a Star Trek movie. Yeah. What would that look like?
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
It's really.
Or the guy that did Primer. Give them a Star Trek movie.
I would love to see, and I just applaud this, because when you watch Hunt for the Wilder People, you don't go, wow, that guy'd be great doing a Marvel film.
Thor.
Yeah, specifically Thor. Yeah.
You know?
Now, even in commercials, when we have effects, we have the effects, I do comedy. So if there's an effects gag, you got to know how to do it. But you meet with the effects people and they go, what are you trying to say?
Right.
And you tell them, and they go, okay, well, you should do it this way. And if you throw out an idea, well, I wanted to do it practically. Could you augment this? They go, yeah, sure. Hey, could you shoot a play to that? Or I step off and go, whatever he needs for the plates, things to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Mm-hmm. A plate meaning a plate shot of without the actor, without the dog and all that stuff. And they composite it.
Basically, it's a steel background shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And that's the thing now. And then let that whole building of people handle it. You say, this is what I want. They tell you what they need on a technical end. And then you still deal with the actors.
They make it so much better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
And you get to sit there and just go to the actor on the green screen. I know you're on a soundstage and everything's green, but emotionally, you still get to be a director, because that's not that hard to do, because all an actor is doing anyway is make believe, that's what, especially a film actor is, and in the close-ups, they're not interacting with the other actor. Most of the time they're looking at a stand in or whatever. So it's cool that they recognize
the exception
that.
Who framed Roger Rabbit. Charles Fleischer was on set in a rabbit costume.
That's because Charles Fleischer's out of his goddamn mind. Right. That's because he just showed up.
Saw him at dinner in a rabbit costume the other day.
He's out of his fucking mind. That's why. All right, what else?
Chuck is the next trailer. Now, this is an interesting trailer. Liv Schreiber is showing, it's a kind of a biopic of the real story of who Rocky Balboa was based on. Mm-hmm. So, which I actually didn't know it was based on a real guy. So, this is a really interesting Philly Rocky story to me. So, I was really intrigued by this trailer.
Wait, I'm looking it up on...
I don't know this trailer. Chuck.
Chuck, yeah.
Is the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably coming up as the TV show first.
Yeah, Chuck Wepner. So, there's a fantastic 30 for 30 on Chuck Wepner.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that went the distance with Ali. And Ali's in his prime.
Right.
Muhammad Ali was like, I just need a tune-up fight. And... Wepner was just this road, you know, Philly, just a guy who's like worked as a bouncer and all this stuff in his face. Like, Lev Shriver is way too good looking for what Chuck Wepner actually looks like. Chuck Wepner looks like a guy that's been prize fighting since he was six. But that's what the Rocky story was based on, was this guy, Chuck Wepner, went the distance and in the first that's Apollo Creed is Ali,
right?
In the first Rocky, and at the end of the first Rocky, he's like, I don't want a rematch, you know, I don't want one. And that was like, that's paraphrasing kind of what Ali said after that fight. He was like, what the fuck?
That was too much work.
I was supposed to drop this guy in three, and now I couldn't take him down. Like, the greatest fighter in the world couldn't take him down, and won by like a slim decision. And there's a great 30 for 30 because there was a lawsuit with Stallone and that was settled. And like, there was a lot of stuff that happened.
And that's all stuff that I didn't know about.
Oh yeah. So this looks really intriguing. I'd love to see this because the Chuck Wepner story is fascinating.
Right.
And Lev Shriver is a guy I like. So,
by the way, I have a good Lev Shriver story.
Yes.
Yes.
Almost 20 years ago though.
It still counts.
Okay. So I was hired to do a picture called The Third Wheel. It came and went, right? Indie film. And it was about a guy on a first date, and as they take off for the date, they hit this homeless man with the car, and he gets in the car and hangs out with him the whole night. And the homeless man tries to make he's a con man. He's trying to make the date better. And it was written and performed by the screenwriter. And it was supposed to be Ben Affleck as the guy on the date. But then he won the Academy Award. For Good Will Hunting, and decided to just produce it and be like a buddy. He has a cameo. So Luke Wilson, we cast as the guy. Before Luke Wilson, I'm talking to Lev Shriver, who had just come out of a movie that's really great called The Out-of-Towners.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or The Weekenders, or the Weekenders, maybe?
The Weekday Sawbills.
Who take a stagecoach into Manhattan from one of the other colonies. And we had a phone conversation about the script, and he said, and I don't do a very good Lev Shriver. He goes, well, you know, my problem, it's inherent in the script, is it's such a fun part, but the antagonist is more fun than the protagonist. Like, it was clearly written by the guy who wants to play the antagonist, and that's a better part. And I think the audience is going to like him more than the protagonist, and therefore it won't work. And I was like, wow, I just got hired to make a movie.
Yeah. You just hung up on it.
You just kicked me in the balls. And in hindsight, like, we did address that, and I brought that up with the producers, and Chris Moore, who was on Project Greenlight, right. and Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, they were the producers. In fact, I call this movie, because it was like a year or so before Project Greenlight, my movie was like Project Stoplight.
Right.
It was just their experimentation into the producing. But that always rang true with me. And even in you know, looking at the movie, like, yeah, it was a fun antagonist.
Yeah. Lev Shriver seems like he's a pretty sharp cat.
Seems like a smart, well, smart badger. Sorry.
Nice. So, Chuck, I want to see it.
Yeah,
and then The Mummy now.
Now The Mummy. What? This new trailer came out for The Mummy. Of the same footage. It's
what? So what? What is a new trailer for The Mummy?
This is Brendan Fraser.
This is no.
Fraser's The Mummy.
This is that would be great if Brendan Fraser was The Mummy in this movie. This is the new Tom Cruise Mummy vehicle.
Oh yeah,
and this is where the Universal is trying to start to piece together all of their monster franchises into one universe. It's rumored that you know, Russell Crowe is in this movie, like, literally announcing The Mummy. Like, it made no sense, but it's rumored he's like Dr. Jekyll. So, like, they're trying to start to interconnect all of these.
It's the same director that did People Like Us.
Oh, and it's one of the writers from Transformers, so I don't know how it could be bad. Yes.
The Universal Universe.
So it just looks like I'm hoping it's a big, dumb, fun, silly summer blockbustery movie that you could just have fun at.
Let's hope.
What I'm worried is that it's just going to be one nonsensical set piece that stuff blows up after another.
Alec Kurtzman, who's only done People Like Us, is the only one that he directed, but he's been an EP on The Invisible Man.
And the writer on all these horrible films.
Yeah, Sleepy Hollow, you know. This is
don't forget all the Transformers movies.
Transformers films, Transformers Prime, Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Difference when they fight at the end of the Transformers movies?
There's no difference.
I can't tell who's the good machine and the bad robot.
It doesn't matter.
It's a swirl of CG.
Yeah, it's just
a relentless assault on
decency.
Indecency. and the human intellect.
Yeah.
And the evolution of the human intellect. It's an assault on.
I would love to see, like, once Michael Bay leaves the franchise, if someone can actually, like, rescue it. Like, if someone could make a compelling, interesting Transformers movie.
Well, it won't be this Mummy jackass, I'll tell you that much.
No, it will not. So, Mummy, mixed feelings about the Mummy, hoping it will be fun. All right, on DVD, coming out, Hidden Figures. Love this film. Definitely, if you haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out. It is really great. It hits some really great themes about racism and how sometimes to combat racism, you can just be good at math instead of like marching down and protesting. There's different ways and different means to combat racism. I thought it had some really great and interesting themes to it.
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about, there's a Hollywood polish on this that makes Kevin Costner the white hero, which is a little like, come on.
Once you can get past that and past Sheldon.
His gum chewing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin Costner chews gum.
But above all, the thing that...
It hits home.
Well, it's not just hitting home, but it's also, it's a story that we should all know about that most of us, I didn't know either. Existed. And so for that aspect, it's good. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. You can see, you know, it deserved a fair amount of its nominees for the Oscars. So
yes.
Directed by Theodore Melfi, a commercial director who also wrote and directed St. Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
Which is based on a true story in his life.
Really?
Great guy, yeah. Known him for many years.
That's cool.
Super guy. Glad to see the movie such a big hit.
Yeah. And St. Vincent was another good film.
Mm-hmm. And the next movie is Lion. You thought this was one of the best movies of 2016.
Oh, loved it. It was fantastic.
Loved it. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best movies. So, like, if you missed either one of these films, this is a great option. You really need to see Lion and Hidden Figures.
Check it out.
Lion is like the kid in Lion should have got a nomination,
right?
In my opinion. It's like the kid from Beast of No Nation the year prior. Like,
oh, yeah.
They found these kids, and they looked at something like 4,000 kids or something crazy like that to find this kid for Lion. He's and Dev Patel does a great job, but this kid is unbelievable.
Why was Dev nominated for Best Supporting Actor? Wouldn't he share the lead in that movie?
Well, that
was weird, right?
Well, that's the strategy, is everyone thinks that it's easier to get a supporting win or a nomination for supporting versus if you go... Because there's always a handful of, like...
I don't know if that strategy always pans out.
I don't think it does either. But yeah. I see where they come from with that, because they're always worried that some big, you know, Tom Hanks type... there's always those guys...
You could say white guy.
Or white guy. But yeah, but there's always a big A-lister that's like...
whose time has come.
Right.
And the Academy's going to give it to him. I thought Dev was great in that movie. I thought that movie was so touching, and I love... Well, I don't want to spoil it. You don't do spoilers.
No. Mm-mm. But it's a good film.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing.
Can I say a general comment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like during the credits of movies when they show the real people that...
Oh, I love that.
That the movie was based on. I'm not saying that happens in Lion and that's what...
it happens and it's a fine moment.
That's not a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. Because it's based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah. They can look it up.
I know it's coming with the real story, but I'm always like, all right, we're going to see the real person. We're going to see the photo or video clip.
Yeah, the photo. Even the photo's good.
I love
it. By the way, Nicole Kidman in Lion
is so,
like, that, her in that movie, she's a supporting actress, right? Mm-hmm. That's a masterclass in subtle performance.
Oh, for sure.
It's like she's just oozing whatever she's thinking.
And it's skin like porcelain.
And it's overlooked just because she's not in the movie that much. Right. Plus, she had to go up against women like that had bigger parts. Like,
I thought you were going to say breasts.
No. like Hidden Figures, the women in, you know what I mean? Like, they had larger supporting actors.
More screen time.
But you're right. Nicole Kidman, there's some scenes in there that are just fantastic with her and Dev Patel, and even just the interaction with that, I forget his name, but the guy that played her husband, who's an Australian actor.
Oh yeah, he was good.
Just the couple struggling with, you know, they adopt these two sons, and one's having a lot of trouble, and the other one, you know, they're both having the identity issue, and they're dealing with it in different ways. And here's two parents that are like, just, you know, they got kids that are struggling, and they love their kids. They want to take care of their kids. So yeah, both these movies are great.
My favorite part about Hidden Figures that's on the DVD, the scene that didn't make it, is when Octavia Spencer poops in a pie and gives it to Kevin Costner. DVD bonus.
DVD bonus.
So, all right, and the site spotlight and the fan feedback. Now, there's Neil also did a review of Colossal. I know CJ did not like this film. Neil was a little more forgiving, but also didn't love it, which is a shame because I was really excited to see this movie. This is the Anne Hathaway giant monster movie.
Yeah, I'm excited. It looks interesting to me.
Yeah, so I'm a little disappointed hearing these reviews, but I still want to see it.
Fan feedback. We posted the Ragnarok trailer and the poster. And Michael Kazminski wrote, Cate Blanchett looks badass.
Okay.
Not the greatest sentence I've ever heard, but I certainly agree with you that she is looks badass.
She does is looks badass, for sure.
Looks badass. And Victoria Ray said looks brilliant, badass indeed. Little better sentence structure from Victoria.
Yeah.
So thank you for both of those comments, you guys. I know. It's funny. Yesterday, there was a slew of comments on the Ragnarok trailer, and are you guys going to talk about this? Yeah, I don't think that one's going to slip through the cracks. So thank you guys for your posts on the Facebook fan page.
You know, if we get to that first goal, that might be our first spoiler.
Ooh. All we need, we're less than $40 shy.
Actually, it wouldn't be because that's November, but it would be, that would be definitely be one of them.
It would definitely be a spoiler if we get to the $1,000 level at Patreon.
Mm-hmm. We're getting so close. We're over 600.
Just go to patreon.com.
Patreon.com.
Comedy Film Nerds. That's also on our homepage.
Yep. You can click right through.
Yep. Nice work.
Yes.
Nice work, George.
By the way, how do you say it? Patreon?
Patreon.
Terrible name.
Yes.
Terrible name for a
one. Yep. You know,
it is the I Am Battle comic of
fundraising.
So you can go to Patreon, throw down some saw beans. So
beans now. couple of saw sticks a month, guys. You can get yourself some CFN support.
Now, premiering this week, The Fate and the Furious. Obviously, we're all going to see this movie.
Yeah.
On the billboard, they are being chased on the ice from a submarine.
Yes.
There's cars in on the
cars.
Ice and a submarine.
Yeah.
I'm in.
You know, and just when you think, well, how crazy and ridiculous can it get? We're not done yet.
No, we're not.
This side of Sharknado.
Yes.
Just close. Like, if sharks started falling out of the sky when they're being chased on the ice by a submarine,
it could happen. Yeah.
Frozen polar bears.
So we're all there. I can't wait for this movie. This is just the right amount of dumb, and we know it's dumb, and just big dumb fun and fast cars, and just this franchise knows exactly what it is and exactly what it's doing. So, and I just love watching The Rock punch Vin Diesel. I enjoy it. So,
and it's all about family, and there's a breakup, and someone's going rogue.
Yeah, don't worry. Everyone's going to say the word family at least once.
Yeah, there's going to be. That's a drinking game.
Yes.
Somebody says family, you're going to get hammered.
The next movie is Gifted. This is when Captain America won't send his kid to a special school.
But this is what we're talking about. good for Chris Evans.
Yes.
He's Captain America. He yep. doesn't need to do movies like yeah. this, no. but I'm glad that he's
a fun project.
Yeah. Yes. It looks interesting about how to deal with a gifted kid.
It's an interesting the trailer is setting up as like almost like a moral dilemma, like are you hurting or helping this kid by not letting them go to the school or are you helping? So we'll see.
Right. Are you not? That's and I've read some stuff on the gifted kid and talked to some parents that deal with it. It's such a tricky thing. I watched a documentary about it where the gifted child sometimes, if they're pushed too hard, I mean, that's the dilemma in Good Will Hunting. They've burn out and they're like,
right, or withdraw.
They
or
withdraw
yeah. or close the world off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes then if they're not pushed enough, they're like kids, they got everything so quickly.
They get bored and get into trouble.
Well, there's that. There's bored and they get into trouble. But then also they didn't learn how to learn because they didn't need to. And then they get older and they don't have like the skills we learn on how to research and study and all
study
that.
Study skills.
They don't have study skills. And so like that's the...
No, I have my son. He's been dealing with that his whole life.
Really?
Yeah. It's mild, but he's always having to learn how to learn. Mm-hmm. Once he gets it, bam.
Right.
Locks in.
And I think that's when someone really picks some subject matter up really easily, they didn't get the study skills, and then they didn't learn how to do that. They hope they can just pick it up anywhere, and it's a difficult thing.
Right.
So that's what this movie looks like it focuses on. So,
next is Spark, A Space Tale. This is an animated movie about monkeys that on a distant planet that kind of came out of nowhere. The trailer looks awful, and it really looks like it's a bunch of foreign money thrown into an animated movie to try to get some of that Frozen money. So it really that's really what it feels like. Some an animated cash grab. So, and the next movie is The Lost City of Z, a true-life drama centering on British explorer Colonel Percival Fawcett, who disappeared while searching for a mysterious city in the Amazon in the 1920s.
It's Charlie, you know, Sons of Anarchy, Charlie Hunnam playing this guy. I can't decide. I'm watching the trailer. I've seen it several times.
Is it a real life Indiana Jones? Like, because that would be a fun movie me to see. But I'm wondering, or is this just, no, it's not.
I can't decide if they're executing this story correctly.
Right. It's hard to tell from the trailer.
Like, are they going to go on the actual things that happen, which are probably really engaging, or are they going to put a bunch of nonsense in there?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'll probably see it, though.
So, and that is it. So you have many choices this weekend after you see The Fate of the Furious.
That is our show. Jordan Brady, where? Tell us those websites again.
Yeah, and are there any that you haven't mentioned yet?
Yeah, there's two I haven't mentioned. So this drops very soon.
Today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you leave. If you're in Dallas, the 25th of April, at the Landmark, we're doing an event, Q&A, after the screening, and all the money goes to militaryfamilies.org.
Awesome.
Then I'm going to Houston, where Slade Ham, one of the comedians that I went over there with,
right.
He's from there, and we're going to pack the Landmark River Oaks, and all the money's going to National Military Families.
That's great.
Then in Phoenix, Thursday the 27th of April, Sneaky Big Studios said, hey, we hear you're going to be showing your movie. We're going to host a screening.
Oh, great.
And they're giving the money to Semper Fi Fund.
Awesome.
Oh, good for them.
So I'm doing the 25, 26, 27 of April at Dallas, Houston, Phoenix. And I'll be at all the screenings live.
Awesome.
Doing a Q&A with the comedian. Slade's coming to him. Bob Kubota lives in Phoenix.
Oh, I ran into Bob in Afghanistan.
That's crazy.
We were on separate comedy tours. He was doing Comics on Duty, and I was doing mine through Mike Burton. Mm-hmm. And we ran into each other at Bagram. There's a tent in Bagram that is the entertainer's tent. I don't know if it's still
in
there.
The movie.
It's in the movie.
Yeah, that's where we did a show.
My picture's up there. Like
insane.
I have a photo that I posted on Facebook of running into Bob Kubota in Afghanistan.
Great. Which would be a great name for a movie.
Running into Bob Kubota.
Well, and also I'd encourage people to go out to these screenings, not only because it's supporting a good cause, but it's also a good movie too. I had a chance. You sent us a screener.
Secret link,
And it's great. It does everything that the documentary should. It shows what it's like performing on these bases and also how it affected the comedians that went over. It actually reminded me a lot of Afghanistan and the way that You know, comedian. It's not just a gig. Comedians just don't go over there, perform, and come back. It changes them, and it changes their lives.
Oh, I'm ready to go back.
And it's something that you never forget, and it's also something that affects you very deeply. And that comes through in the documentaries.
I'll quote Jimmy Schubert, who a young comic asked him about going over there, and he said, "Don't go over there if you don't want to fundamentally change as a person, because it will change. It's going to change who you are going over there." Like your view of the world, everything. It just you get changed on so many levels, and it's cool that this film is showing that, because when I had this, one of the first podcasts I ever did was called Comedians in Combat, and I would just interview comics, and we would all just share. We all had these insane stories about. Oh yeah, we were over there, and there was a thing with the base, and there was an attack, and then we did a show, like, and just how it emotionally affected the comics, because as you say, it's not a road gig. It's
you,
right.
You did forward operating bases.
Yeah, we went to small.
Yeah, you went to those. There weren't as many of those, so I didn't go to a FOB, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
But when people tell you that your laughter is going to give people hope for another 3 months on their deployment. It changes you. And the biggest change for me doing I Am Battle Comic with all the dates at IamBattleComic.com. May 2nd in LA, I hope you guys come out.
Landmark.
At the Landmark.
Pico and Westwood.
Pico and Westwood. It's a great theater, a little bar, right? Operation Gratitude's going to be there.
Nice.
Right? We're going to put some, maybe put some earbud DVDs in there.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So The troops, and Tammy Pescatelli is in the movie in an interview and says, the troops become real faces. So before going over there, I would say, oh, I'm doing this movie. I'm going to, you know, and by the way, I had to do stand-up to get the plane ticket, and I'm not very good, okay? So I cobbled together 15 minutes, and I would tell people, I'm going to go entertain the troops. And the troops were this blob of green.
It's that term is so vague to most Americans. If you're not never been in the military, you don't have a family member in the military, you don't know what that means.
Well, now it's.
Yeah.
Now I see individual faces that I met at a meet and greet during the day that I sat down in the chow hall with and heard their stories. And the other comics going, oh, you know, my buddy, or they'll get, I'll see on Facebook people. That have come out of the woodwork, and guys I went to school with that are in the military now, like, oh, those are the troops.
Well, it's that's not the thing, blob anymore. And that's anymore. What a movie right. like this does, you know.
Puts a human face on
it. Well, it's because, and that's what these tours are about. It's not just the show. It is going to the mess hall. It is, I remember, you know, they have the phone rooms in Afghanistan to call back home. And I remember just, being on the phone and then hearing some soldier, you know, in a really like a tear-filled breakup argument with his wife or girlfriend back in the States, that's the troops. That's what it's like being deployed, is you're going through a tough breakup and you're 10,000 miles away and you're talking on the phone. It's the Skype room in one of the USO rooms at this base near Balad, Iraq. And I'm like, oh, that's where these people celebrate their kid's birthday, is on the Skype camera. It's nice. It's awesome, the technology. Like my grandfather that fought in World War I didn't have that. He sent letters to my great-grandmother. But like, that's the thing where you see it's those things. It's the conversations they have. Who, you know, Bob Kubota said this to me. And a lot of comics said this to me. You're a journalist, you're an entertainer, and you're also a little bit of a therapist, because they start opening up to you because you're not in the military and you're not with CNN. Mm-hmm. They'll just start telling you stuff. And it was it was Scott Kennedy, who I went over there with a bunch, who did like 50 tours, and he passed away 4 years ago. He was always like, it's the hanging out with them after the show that's almost more important than the show themselves, when they start opening up to you about, oh, we lost a guy on that trip or whatever. And
comedian hypnotist Don Barnhart.
Yeah, I know Don. Yeah. He's done a bunch of tours.
Took me over. He's been doing it since 93.
He's in the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Same jokes.
Was it his...
Don, I love you.
Was it his tour?
It was his tour.
His tour that put it...
Okay, so he took me over there, and I've known him a long time. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
what I didn't understand day one, we were in Kuwait. He goes, okay, so we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to drive about an hour to this base and we'll do a meet and greet. I was like, a what? He goes, yeah, we're just going to, you know, go wherever they have us, whoever's available, we'll meet them. And so I walk in and he just starts talking to people. Hey, how you doing? We're the comics. We're doing a show. Hope you can make it over at the tent. And what do you all do here? With a genuine, like, I was trying to see if there was a crack in the armor. Like, is this your bit? He really cares.
Well, when
he engaged them and was listening. And, you know, because of the road work, all the guys I was with were Jeff Capri, Bob Kubota, Slade Hammond, Don Barnhart. They were all able to know a city someone would mention. Mm-hmm. The forum, someone's played the club,
right. Of course,
in the town, mm-hmm. and the troops, these individuals would go like, "Oh, I was there." One guy was at Jack Diddley's.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is you're bringing this connection. You don't realize how important it is, and that's one of the reasons that changes you. Because I remember being on the road for years, and sometimes you get this sort of bitter, like, I don't want to talk to anybody during the day. I want to do my show and get out of there.
It's a different thing.
It's a different thing, and you realize over there, oh, I want to talk. And tell them thank you and ask them where they're from and bring the connection, and because they're not getting it over there. It's a tough thing. And so when you say you're from whatever, like, oh, I'm from Oklahoma City. Oh, man, I played the Looney Bin there. And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's in that strip mall, the Looney Bin. Yeah, I did a bunch of shows there. It's a fantastic club. And they're like, holy shit, that's awesome. Yeah. And so I'm like, I come through there and I always would say like, hey, when you rotate back home, you know, I might be coming through your town. Go to my website, check me out. And it's not just, I'm not just like doing like pro show promotion, right. But it's more like, you're going to come home, you know, I want you to think you're going to come home and, you know, you can go do, there's a life back for you there that isn't just, because some of them, you get lost there. You get, psychologically, they're just the separation from it, the isolation, yeah. the monotony of it. And like I had a commanding officer told Scott Kennedy the suicide rate drops every time a comedy show came through.
That's in the film. Mm-hmm. Because a guy came up in the mess hall and said, "You're going to save lives," and I'm filming it, and a crew of one, mm-hmm. right? And I'm watching, and I'm going, "Did he just say we're going to save lives?" So part of me is going like, "This is docu gold," mm-hmm. and I knew right then like. Oh, this is the movie. It's not just because you guys know you jump off without a net making a documentary. You right. have a thesis,
right?
Which I thought was, you know, you entertain the troops like Bob Hope, like Robin Williams, you know, mm-hmm. and there's going to be laughs and going, well, it's going to be the same every night. And then we found it with that moment, and it crystallized for me the importance of not just entertaining the troops. But what we said about the decompression in the family, and I hope that, like, yeah, I want to take this movie to the military bases mm-hmm. and show it to them. But that's not as important to me as showing it to civilians so that our lefty friends,
yeah.
myself included, have an appreciation for, hey, when these men and women come home, don't do what the generation before us did with the Vietnam vets and like turn the other way. Mm. It welcome them, thank them for right. their service, or at least acknowledge, say hello. Like
it's the thing I realized from making Afghanistan, and a friend of mine said this to me who was a vet, and he was like, "Do you know how many Americans do you think have seen a forward operating base?" He goes, "Your movie's more important for the families because the folks when they're over there, a lot of times they." How is it in Afghanistan or Iraq? Well, it's okay. Like, they're not... They also, a lot of them are like, I don't tell. My family flips out. They hear something in the news that there was an attack mm-hmm. or something. So I don't tell them. So, like, I had so many family members go, holy shit, that's what riding in a Black Hawk is like.
Right.
Right.
That's what being inside a Humvee is like. Or that's what
it looks like. This base looks like.
That's what this base, it's dusty mm-hmm. and there's camo netting and, yeah. oh, my God.
People are peeing into a tube.
Into a tube. Like, they were like, we had...
the trucker's friend.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, I had no idea this is what it looked like. So it is... It is actually more valuable. And also then for the civilians that, like you say, just like the troops, it's vague. And they saw some footage on CNN or Fox or something about a fire base, but they don't know. You don't you can't, it's not the, there isn't the personal connection like there is when you're like, there's a civilian comedian interacting. And that helps me as the civilian that has, knows nobody in the military, connect to this.
Right.
Right.
Well, everybody has a cousin.
Yeah.
Like I have a cousin that served two tours, another cousin that was on the detail to find the IEDs and got blown up and he's safe now. But it really hits home when you have a cousin. And many people have a brother or sister. George Lopez was, I saw on Twitter that he had done these tours, and in research I saw he did an Armed Forces Entertainment tour. He immediately goes, yeah, come on over, let's do an interview. And in the movie, I mean, he gets very emotional about, he had a fan that had one of his, like a catchphrase, you know, fuck those putos, in his helmet. And when the guy passed, the unit sent George the flag and the thing. And I mean, he got super emotional in the interview and just said, look, I keep it at my house. It's with my family. Slade Ham, same thing. They sent him something from a fan. And he's like, who am I? I'm just like Slade saying, compared to Lopez, you know, I'm, how does this guy even know me? But I made a trip and they had my CDs, and they'll always keep doing it if it can help relieve some of that stress. Yes. So look, I'm not going to wrap this up with IamBattleComic.com or having people pre-order or anything like
go
that.
Go for it.
But I hope people do come out, because you got a big fan base in L.A. Mm-hmm. Come out May 2nd.
And just know, guys, that 20 vets a day commit suicide. 22 vets.
That's
a
day. That's the push-ups, yeah.
Yeah. It's and a lot of it
and is, money to this organization, can it can help. Really help.
Yeah, so.
But Tammy Pescatelli did the Q&A with Slade and myself and my buddy Chuck from a big agency, mm-hmm. who was the donor agency. They do Chrysler and Fiat, and I do their Jeep commercials, and they came out in full force to support the screening event. And Tammy Pescatelli says, how much does it cost to send a service member's child to this camp where they go with other kids whose parents are deployed for a mm-hmm. year? And the lady from her name's MJ from National Military Families had flown out from DC. And I said, make sure you have that little square on your phone for people to swipe credit cards. And the lady, she goes, it's like $5 a day. And Tammy just guilted the audience. Who doesn't have $5 a day? I better see some hands raise up. This is right after the movie. Mm-hmm. And people just start swiping, $100, $150. It was a beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
So we're going to have, at all the screenings I mentioned many times, mm-hmm. someone from the charity with a credit card reader. So you can feel
that's a great idea.
You can feel the moment and swipe. Mm-hmm.
So go to IamBattleComic.com, you guys. Go to those screenings if you're in Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, or L.A. And thank you so much for being on the show, guys.
Thank
of
you.
Course, support us at the Patreon and everything else. And,
yes.
And all the stuff you can do for free, liking, you know.
All that stuff
positive
helps.
Positive comments, posting on social media.
And if you haven't bought earbuds yet through CFN, please do. Yep. We, like you said, we have signed DVDs and the downloads as well.
Posters, all of it. T-shirts, mm-hmm. the whole thing. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for supporting independent media and independent artists.
Yep.
Thank you to Jordan Brady for being on the show. Mm-hmm. And my name is Graham Elwood.
And one other thing I wanted to mention, but real quick, the Kickstarter that I was peripherally involved in, the Alton Wright project about Bill Dwyer being a far right lunatic talk show host in his basement, that has a couple days left on Kickstarter. You could still check that out, the Alton Wright and Friends show. And that is it. Check out the, and don't forget the Patreon. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show.
That's our show. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.